Hello and welcome to Just Around the Corner with Dennis Mansfield. It's a podcast about adventure, journey, travel, education, and a little bit of fun mixed in with it. Today's episode is part two of a really personal and deeply important issue because it's about health. And it started with my own health. My guest on today's episode is Lynn Weimer, who is my health coach, and she has been a huge impact in my life.
Thank you for joining Just Around the Corner with Dennis Mansfield. As John Hay, one of the most famous men of the 19th century, once said, "All the great prizes in life are just around the corner." Let's go there together.
Lynn, welcome to the episode again.
Thank you.
Glad to have you
here.
So for those that have not yet seen or listened to the first one, give a little rundown on your background.
Yeah, I went from homeschooling my six kids in the mountains of Idaho and to being a single mom, RN, becoming an RN, and then gradually becoming a health coach.
You did the transition later in life. You'd raised your large portion of your six kids, but then a change happened in your own family, and then you took the two youngest and moved from the mountains down to, how did you say it?
A stone's throw away from the freeway. I could throw a rock from my balcony and hit a car, which I wouldn't do.
Of course. But that change was not just a physical relocation. It was a career change. You decided to go into healthcare. Why an RN?
It's something, I think I had always had a bent toward wanting to care for people. And I had been a caregiver, I guess. Nurse's aide is what they used to call them back when I was 17. And that little seed was planted of caring for people. And then I thought that I wasn't good enough at math or science. In fact, I thought I was pretty terrible at math and science, and so I should stick with what my natural gift was, which was English and languages.
And that's what your degree was?
That was what my first degree was in, yes. And so,
but it was a lie, wasn't it? It was a lie you told yourself.
It might have been true. Well, my dad, he was a mathematician, and he let me know that I was not good in math or chess. He was good at chess, too.
Sometimes those are the lies that our parents give us, because you eventually conquered the mathematical world, conquered the...
Well, one day I had this realization, wait a minute, I've spent the last 20 years teaching math, and any one of my kids can bring me a textbook, one of their textbooks, and ask me what this means, and I can explain it.
Yeah.
So why can't I do that for myself? Of course, I can. And I realized homeschooling gave me that gift of that confidence that I could become an RN. And so that's what I wanted to do.
That's fantastic. So you became an RN when you were in your early 50s.
Yes, I was 53 when I graduated.
Now, you served in that capacity for how long with hospitals?
About 5.5 years. And during that time, I also got my Master of Science in nursing, too.
Now, somewhere in that, though you'd obviously had a family before and a husband before, you married again.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
I married a paraplegic. Mm. And... you know, he was a wonderful man, and he gave me the opportunity to really feel loved and valued, and he passed away about a year and a half ago of complications of being a paraplegic.
Mm. And so you were married for a total of how long?
9 years and 2 weeks.
Oh, well, my heart went out to you then. It goes out to you now. I can't even imagine the sadness of gaining and then losing what you'd hoped that you would have maybe originally had. Every person wants that. And yet he encouraged you with your healthcare and your idea of helping other people. He saw in you what you might not have seen in your own self.
Oh, he was my biggest cheerleader. Yeah, yeah. I don't know if I would have done it without him. He so believed in me. That was so great.
You know, you spoke in the previous episode about not following a diet plan. You understand about diets. You see the value in them. Mm-hmm. But you made a clear distinction that diets on paper are not diets on the kitchen table. Walk us through that. What change happened for you from being an RN with a dietary background and understanding of what theoretically works to, I'll take the Milky Way bar?
I never was too into Milky Way bars myself, but but I loved the desserts. And Ross, my husband, he wasn't really that into desserts. And I was actually more of a chocoholic. Ooh. and liked the desserts more than he did.
Yeah.
And what I found as I was entering the diet culture for basically the first time since my teenage years, I think teenagers tend to be on diets.
They tend to, yeah.
Yes, and I definitely was there. At that age, but realizing that counting calories was not working for me and trying to deprive myself wasn't working for me and saying, okay, I ate a little too much yesterday, so I'll eat less today. Well, eating less today just made me eat more the next day. You know, maybe I did well for a day. Maybe I did well for a week. Maybe I cut out sugar for a few weeks, but I would gradually get right back into it again. And I got really tired of that happening. So basically what ended up working for me was changing my whole relationship with food. Mm. And as I got off sugar for the last time, I realized that something had changed in my body.
Mm.
It had not only, as I made the shift in my mind, my body responded. And I said to my son, Sean, you know, good food, healthy food tastes different to me now. It tastes better to me now. And I'm not craving the other stuff anymore. And the desserts, the
sweet, the sugar.
Yeah, and that stuff, when I do have something, it doesn't even really taste that good anymore compared to the beautiful fruit and fresh produce that I had been eating.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, oh, yeah, that is research-based. That, you know, there's research on that your gut microbiome changes as you change what you're actually eating. And then that shifts your taste buds.
Mm-hmm.
It shifts the way you are relating to food. And
that's phenomenal.
And it's like I was discovering this for myself, and then I found the research that actually backed it up. And that changed everything for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to go back.
Well, one of the things that in that you're not just a health coach, but you're also my health coach, that when my bride Susan and I looked at what I needed to change in my life, it was so hard to realize I'm a sugar addict.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, those who are familiar with our story are aware of our oldest son passing away because he was a drug addict. And we're easily able to point the finger at somebody like that, failing to see that we've got three fingers pointing back at ourselves for whatever we're involved in or allowed to wrap around the axle of our life. And so when the challenge was put out and I called you and Susan and I got on the phone with you to say, well, I kind of think I might need to have some help, you know, I was flippant and tried to be funny about it. And do you remember what you said to me on the phone regarding Dennis, do you want to be alive in 3 years? Do you want to live to be X age?
Yeah.
And
well, because you were telling me about your heart.
Yes.
And the doctors think you're doing pretty good because they're seeing people in much worse shape than you.
Much worse.
But.
And I'm like being flippant about it.
Yeah.
But you brought me to the table with a smack. And I got to tell you, it was good brutal.
Over the phone.
Over the phone. It was good brutal because I stopped. Nobody had ever looked into my heart and said, quit being funny, man, and deal with the issue that you're facing something very serious. And I went, okay. See, I'm a business coach. I live in that world where I can take a person and crack them open about their business and go, what about this? What about that? But to have it done with me, not to me, but with me, was a monumental change for me. And I decided right then and there, okay, whatever the deal is, what's the cost? Let's get the money paid. Let's get the system going. And what I realized was that you were dealing with something that was deeper than just the consumption of food. Mm-hmm. Hence the issue of the diet being taken off the table. In my case, you saw that I was in need of changing my thinking. But really, isn't that the case with everybody that you coach?
Oh, absolutely. If they can do it on their own, great. Maybe they don't, they don't need me. But the people that I get on the phone, they're there
need
for
you.
A reason.
Yeah.
Because you can Google, you can YouTube all day long, and you can find a million answers. Mm-hmm. But why haven't they worked for you? Because they work.
Yep.
But they're not working for you.
But they're not working for me.
Right.
And I was able to secure, you sent me a copy of your book, Be Free Beyond 50. And I didn't know what to make out of it. You know, I'm an author. I write books. I have artists do cover stories, cover artwork for me. And I saw the chain breaking into a bird. And I thought, oh, that's a little gimmicky. I'm not here, am I? I'm already here. And the point was, I was so secured here that they would have needed some sort of jaws of life to cut my chain, let alone to let me fly. And as I read it, I realized, obviously, you were at that time in your coaching practice, you were dealing primarily with women. Mm-hmm. In fact, 100% with women.
Right.
And here I am, Dennis the Menace, calling you up saying, hey, I gots to know, help me out here. I read it with all the pronouns being she, and I understood it with all the pronouns being me.
Hmm.
And I went, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
So this successful book that you've written, I understand you're in the process of recalibrating it to include men at some point. I just want to encourage you to do so, because I'll tell you, men and women that are watching this, listening to this, as a guy, I needed this. And there's something about you as a coach that brings about strength, because you yourself had to become strong.
And that's why I wrote this book, because yeah, I had a little bit of a sugar addiction in my 50s. Well, in my 40s, I was running so much, it didn't matter what I ate. I could eat whatever I want. I was like this furnace, you know? The calories would just sizzle as they hit my gut. and it was, everything changed in my 50s.
What were you running in your 40s? How far were you running normally?
And I don't mean to get off on running all the time.
No, but I think it's a fascinating thing.
My early 40s, it was Normal weeks were 30 plus miles. And then as I was
in that week,
and then 50 to 55 miles as I was gearing up for my marathon.
Yeah.
Things like that.
And then at a certain point, the running fell off the table too.
Right.
So there are a lot of people that are listening to us who were running or were swimming or were biking, and they feel so guilt-ridden that they're not doing it now. Speak to them about getting rid of that guilt.
It's like I said in the last episode, it's just starting where you are and understanding that, yeah, I'm here. Life got me here. It doesn't matter what got me here. This is just where I am. And going forward from there, because a lot of men, it tends to be men who are in this category that I've spoken with in the past, they would say, oh yeah, I used to be a runner and now I hate running. And I would say, I bet in high school you were really fast, weren't you? You were on the track team, weren't you? Oh yeah, yeah, I was so good and I hate it now. And I said, I bet it's because you're wanting to do what you did when you were in high school.
And be that fast runner.
Yeah. And now you get out there and you try to run fast and it sucks.
Yeah.
And no wonder you hate it. Yes. And the thing with me in my 40s, and then again, reapplying this to my life in my later 50s, I had to accept where I am right now. And my mantra was, when I first started running, when I thought I already thought I was too old, was not bad for a 38-year-old mother of six. And that's how I, you know, every step, hey, not bad. And when we just, okay, I want to be where I was in high school, then you're not being where you are now.
Yeah.
And it does suck.
Yeah.
You can't do that. It's physiologically impossible, and you're just going to get injured and you're going to hate it.
Well, you're also going to get depressed and you're going to last just a tiny bit and then you're not going to...
You're going to give up.
There's an Amazon movie called Air that just was released recently, and we watched it, and Matt Damon plays an interesting character in it that he saw Michael Jordan as being the, in a sense, the saving linchpin for Nike. So they went, they marshaled all their monies together to come and have him become the spokesperson for Nike to just do it, right? Mm-hmm. To just do it.
Right.
And there's a scene where the Matt Damon character is pudgy and he's so encouraged by what's happened that he goes out to the track by himself and he stands there and he's getting ready to run. And some guy blisters by him and a girl just, you know, blows past him. And he gets it and he goes, okay, because he was that track kid in Beaverton, Oregon. And he takes off. He must run about 12 or 13 yards and then he stops. And he leans over on his knees and he goes, who am I kidding? Who am I kidding? See, the issue of just do it, both for Nike, that impacted that particular executive, that impacts people today who say, you know, let's just do something. Don't do it from when you were 18 or 19 or 21 years old, but do something now at your current age. And so, you know, when I watched that, I thought, okay, I have been biking for now a number of years, and I've biked across parts of Europe on the Danube River, and I've just recently biked across Dublin, the city of Dublin, Ireland. Had a wonderful time. Every step of the way, every pedal pushing moment of time, I was thinking, this is so fun. I wasn't thinking the 18 or 21-year-old version of who I was. I was, right now, I am right here. So when you changed your thinking to be right here, you read some books impacted you. What are a couple that you might recommend of books that have really given you the power to think differently?
A recent one is David Goggins, Can't Hurt Me.
Oh, okay. Tell us about that.
David Goggins had a horrific childhood and would be severely beaten by his father. And I just want to throw out the disclaimer, if you're bothered by language, don't read this book, though there is a cleaned up version of it available now, I think, on Amazon. But he was very beaten down by life. And I think he was about 24 years old. He was around 300 pounds. He was, his job was as an exterminator. He would go around to restaurants after hours and spray for cockroaches.
Oh my.
And.
It's a worthy job, but very difficult job too.
Yeah, and he had pretty much just given up on himself. And he describes this experience of basically spraying for cockroaches and they just start coming out of the woodwork and raining down on him. And
oh,
it's just
this.
And he just, he comes to the point of, I can't go on like this. You know, what am I doing?
Yeah.
And he watches this TV documentary on Navy SEALs, and he decides he's going to be a Navy SEAL.
Wait a minute. What? 300 pounds?
Yeah. Yeah, and he had so much time to lose over 100 pounds. I think it was 120 pounds. Mm-hmm. And he also had cheated his way through school, and he had to pass the ASVAB. And so he was nonstop working out and nonstop.
And this book details that.
Yes. And so the next book is called Never Finished. And I love that book, too,
give us the name of the first book.
The first one is Can't Hurt Me.
And then the second
one is Never Finished.
And it's David Goggins,
G-O-G-G-I-N-S. Yes.
Okay, well, that's a great recommendation.
Yeah. And so I bring that up not because I think we need to, you know, become Navy SEALs or,
sure.
But that he found what motivated him to get out of the place that he was in and did the work necessary. And also, I don't feel that we should beat ourselves into the ground like he tends to do.
Sure.
I take a much more gentle approach.
Well, as we all grow older, a much more gentle approach is kind and it is necessary.
But still that book, that's a recent one that has impacted me on a deep level. And I want to listen again before my Iron Man, because that's what that kind of drive and will is what keeps you focused on the finish line and, you know, doing something
hard. You've got an Iron Man coming up. It consists of running, biking, and swimming. Is it in that order? Can you give it to us?
Okay, yes. It's, well, the Iron Man is a 2.4-mile swim. Mm-hmm. And then it's a 112-mile bike, and then it's a 26.2-mile run.
Wow. You're going to do great in that. And you've got
just going to take my time.
You've got a test, not a test, but
a rehearsal.
Rehearsal.
It's my rehearsal.
Prior to that, by how many weeks? 3 weeks between the two?
About 4 weeks.
4 weeks, okay. Mm-hmm. When you... You know, one of the questions I said that I would ask you was, what are your goals? Well, this is obviously one.
Yes.
But you have other goals. What about the possibility of a TED Talk? How does that look?
Oh, yeah, I'm planning. It's a TEDx.
TEDx.
I'm not aiming for TED. I'm aiming for TEDx.
Not yet.
Right. not yet.
And what is involved in that? What do you have to do in order to be considered to be on a TEDx talk?
Well, you have to have an idea that changes lives, basically. Not that every TEDx talk is like that, but you know, something that the world needs to hear.
So how have you used your own coaching techniques that you use on me, on others, on yourself? How have you coached yourself up in order to move towards the goals that you have, whether it's the Ironman, whether it's TEDx, whether it is the next place that you'll live or the next opportunity to travel? How do you coach yourself up to be able to go after these things?
Well, for one thing, like you do, I surround myself with coaches. Mm-hmm. Because I think we all need a coach. Mm-hmm. And I'm working on my mindset every single day. So
that's great.
My day starts with gratitude. Mm-hmm. And I write down my gratitude, but I don't just do my gratitude. I get in the place of feeling mm-hmm. grateful for my life. And that's a real measure of, you know, throughout my day, am I living in gratitude? Mm. And when I am, then I don't have to worry about feeling like I'm not enough or I'm never going to get there.
Because those thoughts don't surface when you're thankful for what you do have.
Exactly.
Or who you are.
Yeah. And every breath that we take is mm-hmm. such a gift. And so there's gratitude, and then there's brag. And, you know, a lot of us that are in a particular culture, we think, oh, you know, we just need to be humble. Mm-hmm. You know, we need to not, you know, think of everybody else higher than ourselves.
Right.
Well, we actually can have a kind of pride in ourselves that is worthwhile and very beneficial for us, because we need to know that we can do it. Mm-hmm. We can do whatever we're setting out to do mm-hmm. because we've had all of these examples of times where we've done hard things mm-hmm. in the past, and we've, you know, I did this thing, so now I know I can do this thing. It's just one more step in that
direction. It's interesting that you say that, because oftentimes on the podcast, I'll bring up the fact that I have a newsletter that's available for people to be encouraged throughout the month. Mm-hmm. You receive my newsletters. One that I did a while back, just recently, I suppose within the last month and a half or so, was on the issue of pride that's bad and pride that's good. And, you know, our West Point class that I am honored to be a part of, their motto was Proud and Great 78. That was our mm-hmm. class's graduating year. And to be able to talk about being proud of what you did do, the plebe year being a prisoner of wartime, to survive that and walk out and realize I'm part of the long gray line. I did it. Mm-hmm. Was a wonderful feeling. Those who graduated, my son is a graduate of West Point, spent 4 years there, did it, was done, said, I did it. When they throw their hats up, they do it for a purpose, because they can't wait to get rid of the uniform and go do what they were trained to do.
Right.
The good pride, the good opportunity, has nothing to do with the arrogance of the bad pride. And so, by the way, if any of the listeners or viewers want to get my newsletter, it's real simple. Just go to DennisMansfield.com, the way you did it. You click on, there's a box that says join, subscribe mm-hmm. to the newsletter. You click on with that, and then what will happen is they'll send you an email to make sure it's not junk or spam. You respond, and then you're immediately in. So I love encouraging people through the newsletters. You love encouraging people through your book, through your speaking, your opportunities. You know, we mentioned, of course, your kids, 6 children that you raised, who are now all adults. What are they doing? What are they involved in any physical stuff like you or coaching like you? What do they do?
Well, one's a physician's assistant, and then one's in aviation finance, and then my daughter is, and I, it's five sons and one daughter. I guess I haven't said that. And then, so my daughter is quality assurance for email marketing for corporations. And then my next son is CEO of an email marketing company. And then the next one is a software developer, programmer. And the next one does QA, the youngest, QA for, or quality assurance for software.
So you basically raised a whole school of slackers.
Right.
Are you
they're brilliant.
Are you the proudest mom on the face of the earth?
I probably am.
Well, I would venture to say that they are equally proud of you, proud of what you've done, proud of the fact that you're helping others. I am one of those that you're helping. I just want to let you know personally, as we kind of come in for a landing on this episode, that the change that you've made in my life and in my wife's life about taking a look at things that we consume and realizing that those are really things that consume us. Mm-hmm. And realizing, do I want to be consumed by the addiction of sugar? Do I wish to be consumed by eating meats that may not necessarily be the best for me? Do I want to be consumed by buying into a marketing program that says, hey, Coke is it, baby, you know, and realize, no, you know, and for us, it's a wonderful thing for us to enjoy water that's carbonated and not have to worry about the sugar that's part of the Coke, the Pepsi, the whatever. Changing things, enjoying vegetables, eating vegan or vegetarian, while at the same time realizing that it's not a handcuff to us, but it is a pathway to us, for us, that we can enjoy and then occasionally have meats or other things that we ordinarily would have overconsumed. I want to leave all of the viewers and listeners with a very pungent, clear, concise thing about people who go on a diet and say, oh, that's my cheat day. Because everybody who's out there who does diets say, you can have a cheat day. Okay? You impacted me deeply by challenging me and saying to me, Dennis, would you have a cheat day in other things of your life? Would you cheat your clients? Would you have a cheat day? Would you cheat Susan? Cheat on Susan? Would you cheat your brothers and sisters out of inheritance of families? That was a huge emotional change in my mind. I would not, for the life of me, do any of that. And yet...
So why are you cheating on yourself?
That's exactly what you said to me.
Yeah.
And that changed me. And so, Lynn, I just want to tell you, thank you publicly. I'd like you to be able to make yourself available to the men and women that are listening and viewing this as to how they can get in contact with you. I've already talked about Be Free Beyond 50. They can buy this
Amazon or go to BeFreeBeyond50.com.
Yeah, that's your website.
That's the book. And that will actually take you to Amazon. Okay. All roads lead to Amazon.
In fact, they do. And then if they want to email you, what's the best email address again?
It's Lynn, L-Y-N-N, at befitbeyond50.com.
One more time.
Lynn at befitbeyond50.com. And spell out the word 50. Don't put it in numbers.
Got to tell you, these have been two episodes that I have absolutely loved participating in.
Thank you. Me too.
It's a joy to have you here. I've known you for many, many years. I knew you way back when. I can tell you that Susan and I are both thrilled at who you are and who you are becoming.
Thank
you. Because of that, The Apostle Paul said that we're to comfort one another with the same comfort that we ourselves have been comforted by. He wrote that to the church at Corinth. And as a believer, as a Christian, I look at things like that and I go, well, how does that practically apply? This is how it practically applies. Mm-hmm. In the Old Testament, the Jewish culture would say that like iron sharpens iron, mm-hmm. so one person sharpens the next. I want to thank you for sharpening me and allowing me to sharpen you, as though I'm not your coach, I am, in fact, I can't help but coach you up.
You've been awesome. It's been amazing.
So, ladies and gentlemen, what a joy to have you sit in on this, to hear about two friends who have been encouraging to one another about the opportunity for health. If you need, and you know it, to get in a state of health, please reach out to Lynn Weimer. She's giving you the information. You can go back and get that. And reach out, man or woman. I happen to be the first guy in her retinue of clients, and I'm honored because when I hit my goal of losing 68 pounds right before my 68th year, which will be in January, we'll probably come back in studio and do another show on that.
That sounds great.
I think I'll have to buy a thinner suit or something too, which is fine with me. Anyway, again, DennisMansfield.com is the website. Go on there, click on for the newsletter, and then put your information in. We will send you a confirmation. You can say, yep, that was me, that wasn't spam. And then you'll be on our regular newsletter list. We put it out about twice a month, and it's a lot of fun. So may you do well, rest well, be healthy, and if you need help, get a hold of Lynn. Thanks again.